Scott Parkinson at the Club for Growth. As we continue to go state by state with primary elections that are taking place around the country, we had a number of those this past week. We're going to catch up on the details with Scott Parkinson. Scott, as always, good to have you here.
It's great to be back, Loman. Thank you.
Let's start out in South Carolina. Congresswoman Nancy Mace, that was an interesting battle there. Want to tell us the dynamics in that race and the outcome?
First, I'd start out by going all the way back to 2020. Club for Growth PAC and Club for Growth Action invested in a big way in Nancy Mace to win that race. And she only won by about a point and a half during that last presidential election. And in 2022, it was another one of those really hotly contested races, because in 2020, she was the only Republican to actually flip a Democrat incumbent seat. Fast forward to all the drama that's going on in Washington, D.C., Nancy Mace, with her independent streak, ended up being one of the eight Republicans that voted to vacate Kevin McCarthy. And so she became sort of a target for Kevin McCarthy's allies to try to take out in a primary. And they ran a really strong candidate named Catherine Templeton. Templeton had previously run for governor, very well-funded, and Club for Growth PACs stood by Nancy Mace because she still was an economic defender of economic freedom, and somebody that has a good voting record on those issues that the Club for Growth cares about. So ultimately, that was a big, big primary for everybody on Tuesday. And to a lot of people's surprise, Nancy Mace won with 58%, and Templeton only received about 28%, a 30-point blowout. And, you know, I think that was pretty embarrassing for the establishment that was seeking revenge against one of those McCarthy eight vacators. So big, big race there in South Carolina.
And up in Ohio, a race that actually is going to immediately seat a new member of Congress, a special election. Want to tell us what happened there?
Previously, Michael Rooley won the Republican primary for this special election, but Bill Johnson had previously resigned early so that he could take a position with the university in Ohio, I think at Youngstown State. And so that was an open seat. This is why the majority shrank to one and two seats, because people like Bill Johnson and Kevin McCarthy leaving a bit early. And that special election was completed this week, and Michael Rooley will be seated shortly here as a member of the House of Representatives.
So that adds a bit to the Republican majority. Now we're going to go all the way west to the state of Nevada, where, again, a hotly contested race for the Republican nomination, this time for the United States Senate. Who emerged as the victor?
Well, Nevada is an interesting state. There's no doubt about it. And in the 2022 election, this candidate, Sam Brown, lost to Adam Laxalt. Sam Brown is a war hero and had a terrible IED incident during an attack when he was serving. But he's obviously a really, really strong candidate. And he was running against one of Trump's former ambassadors to Iceland, a guy named Jeff Gunter. Trump did a rally last week in Nevada, and a lot of people thought that he would endorse Sam Brown at this rally, but it didn't come together that way. And nonetheless, on Truth Social that evening, what happened but a Trump endorsement for Sam Brown. Captain Brown received that endorsement, and he also won in a blowout victory to be the Senate nominee against Jackie Rosen as we try to win back the Senate majority, not just with one or two seats, but hopefully we can pick up seats in places like Arizona and Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, Virginia, Michigan, Ohio, and Montana. Everybody wants to point to those races, but the next tier includes states like Nevada, where there is a Republican governor of Joe Lombardo, and we obviously have that here in Virginia as well with Governor Glenn Youngkin, and my race will be on Tuesday.
Relative to Nevada, not only is that in play for the U.S. Senate, but we've seen some remarkable numbers in the presidential race in Nevada as well, haven't we?
We have. I think that when you look at the polling over the last year and a half, Trump head-to-head against Joe Biden is really demonstrating that he can win this thing in a landslide with well over 300 electoral votes. And still comes back to the economy for me. And this week we got new CPI numbers once again at an annualized rate well above the benchmark of 2% that the Fed sets as a policy standard for inflation. We're still coming in hot around 3.3%. And a lot of people think, oh, well, that's so much lower than 9.1 and where we were just two short years ago. But the bottom line is it's a cumulative effect. And when people ask themselves, Are you better off today than you were four short years ago? I think that darn near everybody feels the pinch of inflation because it's a hidden tax on their buying power. And ultimately, it's 60 days out of the year, 20% of your earning has been wiped away by inflation. I think that the voters are going to hold Joe Biden to account in places like Nevada, where the housing market is a wreck, in places like Michigan, where the housing market is a wreck, in places in Northeast, where electric prices are making it harder to heat a home or to provide air conditioning during the summer months. People are feeling the pinch here. It's not just about eggs and bacon, even though those things are delicious. It is about the overall cost of middle-income families and what inflation means to them.
And the Fed, obviously, still not happy with where inflation is. They met this past week, no interest rate cut. At the beginning of the year, we thought there would be several interest rate cuts this year, but doesn't look like that's going to happen. In fact, there's even some talk about perhaps another hike.
Well, I think that, again, it would be devastating for the middle class. And obviously, this is Joe Biden's economy. And what the Federal Reserve is doing is basically manipulating the interest rates to try to make things better for Joe Biden. But we know what the real economy is doing. And obviously, the Fed's meeting this week to go ahead and delay a decision. We'll be watching them closely as we head in to the end of the summer and early fall and see if they make any sort of a last-minute decision on rate increases heading into that November election on the 5th.
Scott Parkinson at the Club for Growth. And Scott has had a little bit of a side gig going here for the last year or so, running for the Republican nomination for U.S. Senate in the Commonwealth of Virginia. And Scott, your primary is coming up just a couple of days here on Tuesday, June 19th. All of us here at American Radio Journal certainly wish you much success in your endeavor there, and we'll look forward to talking with you again next week. Thank you.
Thank you so much. I hope everybody will check out scottparkinson.com. I also always plug clubforgrowth.org.
Scott Parkinson. Thanks, Scott.